Here she is. The spaceship carrying Marcy was well into a pinwheel of blue and purple light before she overcame her stunned silence. She lifted the shades on the tinted window to reveal galaxy after magnificent galaxy, the circular orange-brown Andromeda with a mauve flush on its cylindrical tips, the sombrero yellow sun hat looking much as Saturn had when she had spilled out of our solar system, then an aquamarine whirlpool and a small spiral that looked like a pointy lily. She swallowed hard to drown her thoughts. How far am I from home? I'm going to skip ahead a bit to more description. So she's been asked to rescue this guy when she just wants to get back home to her birthday party on Earth. Marcy thought of everyone she would miss and the people who would miss her if she took this mission, especially her grandparents. She thought of how they had raised her from infancy. From the moment their dog Brianna's ecstatic barking had led them to find her in a handmade cotton blanket under the moonlight of their bedroom windowsill. There was the everyday comfort of picking wild orange and yellow snapdragons on her walks with Brianna, and Grandma Anderson's elation each spring when Marcy presented her with flowers to admire as she drank tea with her friends. How Marcy enjoyed helping to count the milk bubbles in each cup, fully believing her grandma that each little circle was a symbol of blessings. She loved the moment each evening when her grandfather came through the front door in a burst of energy and threw her in the air like a toy, catching her securely and spinning her around in strong arms. She was never too old for that joyful greeting when Grandpa came home from work. Then there was the peace of winter holidays when the three of them would adorn the turquoise and lemon tree in gossamer butterflies studded in jewels and shiny glass balls with little elves inside, decorations that looked like an entrance to another dimension. Transfixed in the light reflecting off crystal ornaments, Marcy could imagine morphing into that elf world. She pictured an entire universe of homes in sugary gingerbread and striped candy, where elves skated on blueberry ponds and surfed across the meringue of giant lemon pies to create the wavy design, all in a world the size of a teacup. Well, stop there for a moment. You can find out the rest in the story. Yeah, so it's got a lot of prose poetry description in with her adventures in space rescuing this guy. So
Good for
thank
you. Good for
you.
you. Good for you.
Yes.
I think that there's so much of very delicious descriptions skating across the meringue, the blueberry pond or something like that. Oh God, it began to make me feel hungry. Thank you.
I noticed the lemon pie. My favorite.
Well, I've read about 40s science fiction books. Anytime someone talks about outer space, they got my attention. And somehow you take us out in space and you bring us home and talk and just have a just subtle way of sweetly talking about these things. I can't touch it in terms of how to describe what you're doing there, but it's quite pleasurable. Thank you.
Oh, I agree with you, Gerald. It made me feel like I was there in the scents in the air, not just to say that there's gingerbread, but the scent, orange and yellow. Oh, I just felt like in this short little space I've traveled with grandmother, I've traveled, and I'm looking in the window, seeing how the elves, it was just so rich with description and feeling. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much for the feedback, everyone. Just totally makes my day.
And you seem to have a natural smile. Just natural. Yeah, I don't think you can stop smiling. You know, it's so it's you know, whatever. It's some people can't do that. A face stuck in smile.
It's the energy of Charlotte's show. I'm just so grateful to be here, and all of you are so inspiring and such good energy.
Thank you for being part of the energy, the ignition, the lighting, the fuel. Okay, who is next, Cynthia?
So our next reader is Neil.
Hi. I'm becoming very aware of the fact that I'm going to be 85 in February. And I live in paradise. I totally do. And there's a park and two lakes within, from my exercise, it's 2K. So I was there the other day and it started raining. And I said to myself, you know, on the day that I die, I want it to be raining. A slow, gentle rain. One that natures and softens the receptive earth so that the energy of my love will penetrate deeply into the soil. On the day that I die, I want the softened Mother Earth to accept my love in appreciation for all the gifts that nurtured, clothed, and sheltered me in all the forms it bestowed upon me in this lifetime. On the day that I die, I want one of my books to be a bestseller, not for the fame and fortune it will bring, but for the love and compassion they share in this time of need for love and compassion. On the day that I die, I want my friends and loved ones to be deep in their own experience of adventure, ones that teach them to be grateful for this self-inflicting, wounding experience called life. On the day that I will die, I want the rope that ties me to this existence to sever easily and quickly, without drama and pain, far away from the sound and fury that echoes through this passion play. On the day that I die, I want to remember the log cabin at Orient Bay, where all the adventures of my life began. And I want a headstone carved with three words, no names, no dates, just the inscription, "The adventure continues." Thank you.
Lovely. I love that headstone, "The adventure continues." You've thought it out so well. Thank you for all the ideas.
Yes, Neil, I too like parks. And I'm a little bit distant from the ones I used to go to. But we certainly share that. And I think you saying you're 85, I said, wow, that's how you get to be 85? You stay in the park. You're taking very good care of yourself. And thank you for that poem.
Thank you for the imagery in that poem. You know, so many people, when they talk about the day they die, they're talking about lavish food and who they want to sing and stuff that sometimes is a burden for the people who are remaining, trying to get through this huge list people have written of their expectations on the day that they die. So I just thank you for giving a different viewpoint, another way that someone might say, read that poem and say, maybe that's something I could reflect on. So just thank you for yet again another experiential and emotionally lifting poem.
Yeah, I love the list poem and all the details that came out in it. And then I think our next poet is Ramona.
Oh, so everyone, I had this amazing experience for a week in November, from the 7th to the 15th. And I really want to share it with you because I'm so thankful for it. It is indeed a dream come true. And I wrote it as an experience, which I'm kind of going to share with my chanting group. But for you, I tried to make it into a poem. Please don't laugh. So here it is. I'm Ramona, embracing the philosophy of thanks living. decades of gratitude shaping my path. This journey transforms experiences, opening doors to abundance. Reflecting on challenges, navigating personal and professional storms, striving to make a positive impact in communities across India and Canada. As a French teacher, my love for the language blossomed at the Alliance Française in 1969. Dreams of the Sorbonne drew me, but financial straits held me back. My father's retirement making the journey impossible. For 40 years, I shared the beauty of Paris with eager students, monuments, cathedrals, the rich tapestry of cuisine and art. When they asked about my travels to Paris, I also always answered with a twinge of regret, I've never been. Then, during a week in November, my daughter surprised me with a trip to Paris, a dream finally realized. I stood beneath the Eiffel Tower, admired the Sacré-Cœur, walked through the Arc de Triomphe, explored the Louvre and Palais Garnier. I tasted crepes and croque monsieur, delicacies I had long described. In every moment, I chanted gratitude, feeling the kindness of those around us, their warmth enveloping us. In this spirit of thanks living, I remember, quote, gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow, end quote. I commit to living in gratitude, embracing this philosophy for myself and for others. Thank you.
Wow.
It's amazing. I feel I've gotten this age. I've never heard that word before. At least I don't recall hearing the word thanks living. I think it's so sweet and so perfect. And the way you describe things, it's just well done. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gerald.
I love how you have wisdom in there too. Like, you give us this beautiful energy, but all the wisdom behind gratitude and how powerful it is. Thank you for your words.
Yes, I echo that.
Thank you, Cynthia. Gerald.
Thank you, Ramona, for taking me back to Paris.
Take me next.
It makes me wish I could go again. I went as a student exchange from K-State University to Greece, Paris, and England, but that was 100 years ago. So happy to hear just the joy in your voice and the completion of having, even though you couldn't go to Paris at the time you were teaching, that you brought it to them through cathedral. So many descriptive words within your acknowledgement. So thank you for sharing that. And maybe, who knows, we'll have a pop-up, poetry pop-up in Paris, France, directed by you.
That's an amazing experience, really.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So our next reader is Gerald Collins, and then after Gerald, we'll have Charlotte, our host.
Thank you. This next one is written like a letter, actually a letter to God. And guess what? It's entitled Madly. So, dear God, I have many reasons to be pissed, but I'm madly in love. I'm madly in love with you. Yes, I do hold you responsible for these challenges I am facing. You must understand my confusion. Do you? Life sometimes has been a dread. It's been painful at times. But I'm still madly in love with you. I cried so profusely when my father passed. He suffered a lengthy bout with lung cancer. Then I had to go through the loss of my mother 17 years later. She too had an unpleasant bout with cancer. I remember my talk with you after both of these passings. Yet, My love for you goes unchanged. I am madly in love with you. What have you done? There have been those times when I have these strange visions. I've read about many mystics who said that you provide these times of dream, these types of dreams. They don't always occur in the middle of the night. They do occur, and they are so enjoyable. Is this how you keep me tethered to you? Oh, yes. I've experienced those feelings during the high praise times of church. I was once in the church choir, and those songs of praise to you are wonderful. I can't describe that. I just know I am madly in love with you. You have seen me at home quietly feeling your presence. You have noted that I need no one to raise my love temperature. Somehow you do this with me, and I just fully fall in. Is this how you do it? Is the feelings of love that are in fact you? Are you the feelings too? This makes no sense to me. Yet still, I'm madly in love. I'm madly in love with you. Yeah.
I love how you read that, Gerald. I love the emotion in your voice and the repetition of I'm madly in love with you. The pacing, it's just so beautiful.
Thank you.
I love the sincerity. You know, you could, like you take a picture, like an image of God while you're sitting there saying, I'm madly in love with you. And it just makes a deeper, broader sense of the word love. You know, there are a lot of commercial songs that talk about love, love, love. But the way that you say it, you feel it directly from your heart and very personally to God. I pictured you there, the two of you.
Two of us? Okay.
And you. Yeah, I like that idea, writing a letter to God and just, you know, loving God no matter what's happening. I share the same sentiment like you. So it's difficult for my children. They can't understand that. So I'm very happy that you wrote that. It sort of resonated with me. Thank you, Gerald.
You're welcome.
I love the opening that you're pissed. I can understand that one.
You know, it's good to witness that in expressing that, you know, we didn't see a poof, a poof of smoke, that God doesn't allow you to express his disappointment or anger. You know, she, he, the universe, allow you to do that. Some people hold in a lot of feelings of resentment because they're afraid that God is a boogeyman that's going to get them for expressing their displeasure. So thank you for being bold enough to share and to let us see what happens when you open your heart both with appreciation and for thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Okay, we have a couple of announcements. Our friend Neil Ryan has published another book. He has published his first book at 82, I believe, and he now has a new book, and something wonderful happened in that a publisher, first book he self-published, and now he has a publisher. Tell us what's happened, the exciting thing that's happened with your book.
Well, first off, I have a new version of my old book. My publisher went bankrupt, so I found another publisher that wanted to give me a new cover and do it and add a bunch of poems and so forth. So From the Other Side is available on Amazon. And it's got 60 poems and 3 short stories, and it's about life and love. And it comes from the other side, all my poetry. I also have, I don't have a cover to show you. I have a new book called The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery. And The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery is a novelette. And it also has a 12 short stories along with it at a whole variety. Some of them are fictional. Some of them, one of them is about a poem about spending from when I was 5 years old till I was 10 years old, living in a lumber camp in Northern Ontario where the weather gets down to 35, 40 below. So it's quite an interesting book, and it'll be out on December the 15th into Amazon. And it's called The Brighton, and it's written, the Brighton Tarot Card Mystery. And it's about a stolen deck of tarot cards and the self-styled detective that solves the problem. And it has a magical ending to it where I don't want to give away the farm, so I hope you people will remember The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery by Neil Ryan, and it will be on Amazon. It's been through the whole process. It just got to be published, is all. And it's poetry and short stories. I decided to do a book of short stories and try and keep them connected to my belief that we are all spiritual beings connected to the physical side of things. So, hey, I tell you, really interesting. There's more wisdom in there than I can count on, but it comes to me through whoever she is. She gives me the poem, and all I do is write it down. So,
thank you for sharing. I have an announcement, and you can't see it because my camera's off, but it's called From Pillows to Pillars: Learn to Pat Your Problems into Poems and Celebrate Life's Little Joys. And I wrote the book some time ago, and it says at the back, it's the right book, it's a remedy. Are you lonely? Ever been so angry you thought you would burst? Feel like breaking something or someone apart? Grappling with soul-racking grief, feeling unloved or unwanted? Are you soaring with so much joy you can't sleep? Tested the uncharted waters of a new relationship? Are scarcely able to speak about hope rising in your heart? Then this book has six chapters. The first one deals with anger with God, anger, then grief, then heartache, than the resurgence of faith, hope, and love. And I've done more than 100 presentations, like in boys, maximum security boys prison, at churches, in different places. And I thought I was happy with it. And then I showed the book to the director of ministry that Gerald and I are both familiar with. And that leader said, well, it's written from the victim's viewpoint. So I stopped marketing it, I stopped telling people about it, I switched over, only to realize that the victim's viewpoint is a place where a lot of people are. And it didn't stop at the victim's viewpoint. It went on to a higher level of appreciation. I've been doing some workshops here in Vancouver and without the book. And people said, well, where's the book? Where's the book? So now this book, From Pillows to Pillars, is available as an ebook by the publisher Author House. It's also available, I don't know whether Amazon has it still in print, or Author House is going to make it, but the more exciting thing is it's available as an ebook. So this past couple of months where I've been doing some workshops and then people have to wait 20 days or whatever for it to come in the mail, you can immediately get the ebook. I'm also working, my engineer here that usually is working with us with the show, we're developing an audio book. Because some people have said the poems in each one of those areas, grief, anger, heartbreak, and then the resurgence of faith, hope, and love. The book has got some pages in it. So after each one of those chapters, people can write about their experience with those emotions. So look for it. It's available From Pillows to Pillars. And that's all I'll say about that.
I hope that your books become bestsellers, Neil and you can, Charlotte, right?
Thank you for that wish.
Amazing.
Yes, yeah. It's been made simpler to get it by getting the ebook form.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you have another book called Pillows to Pillars?
No, this is the book.
The same one? And I have two of your books, as I recall.
Have this one, but this one because the Reverend said to me when he said, but it's written at the victim's viewpoint. So I thought, oh, that's bad. So I stopped really promoting it and talking about it. Now I realize sometimes I was at a bookshop fair and I had my book Heartbound Just for You and From Pillows to Pillars. And I saw some younger people flipping through the From Pillows to Pillars and then, talking with and working with working with different groups who find the transition that it's interesting reading about my transition, but having the pages and spaces to write about there. So I'm not seeing it as a smack when somebody says it's written from the victims. It was from the victim's viewpoint, as it shows you, or how I, or how you can put your problems into poems and celebrate life's new joys.
I remember, and then please help me with this. This was when we first met, and you said something about one of your books, which I was told years ago, never listen to stuff like that. That is, you were criticizing yourself, and I didn't say anything. I said, "How's she doing this?" So I got the book, and I loved it. But I said, "Well, she doesn't know yet. Just write what you love, and hear other people. Yeah, you listen, but that's all." You hear it. That's all. It does not have to affect you in any way. This is you. You're telling us about you. You're telling us what you feel and what you've experienced. And that's what I want to hear. So I don't know how I'm saying that, but I've said it.
You'll be hearing it soon because it's going to be an audiobook.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank each of you for coming today. It was wonderful. It was part of just thanks with American Thanksgiving coming up. I thought that I know you and other poets that were invited are people that celebrate Thanksgiving. So thank you for your time. Thank you for the wonderful insight you shared with each other. And I look forward to seeing you when we pop up again. Going to do something for Kwanzaa and something at the beginning of the year. So if you don't mind, sometimes the people that are on a program say, can I have the numbers of the other ones? And when I usually send out the message, I make it a blind CC to each one of the people. But if you all wouldn't mind if I sent an email to you as a group when we are doing something, then I will send it that way, or I'll continue to send it individually.
Okay, oh,
I
wouldn't
would
mind. Yeah. No problem, Charlotte.
No problem.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, where we add another of our poetry pop-up sessions. Thank you for the ways you've encouraged this. And we want to say, the show comes on at 10, but when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time. Poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds. And play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, times for words from heaven. heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time.